I am a recording artist, a radio personality, an actress, a TEDx speaker, and most recently, a certified master life coach. And I am just like you, on this wild ride, a page-turning book filled with victorious chapters and chapters of sheer defeat. Well, I'm here in the arena now, here to help you create a beautiful life. Hola mi gente, this is your favorite chica, Judy Torres. Oh my God, we are back. Welcome to my podcast, Beautiful Life with Judy Torres. If you're just tuning in, I want to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your life, because I know time is really important. So thank you for using this time to spend with me. I really appreciate it. You know, I've been a professional recording artist for over 35 years, a radio personality for 22 years, a certified master life coach for over 3 years, a TEDx speaker, and most recently an actress again. Yay! So thank you for coming. And the reason why I started this podcast was basically I wanted to do things to help people get along in their life and manage the stresses that come up. I wanted this podcast to be something that's real and that can inspire, encourage, and empower people to move forward when they feel stuck.
And Judy, we're in season three. And the real exciting thing about season three now is the fact that we're adding a video component so people could actually see you and connect with you this way. There's been like a demand for it. So we were able to finally accommodate it. It's a good thing that came out of, this pandemic that hopefully we're at the end of.
I like that. I know video is like everything right now. It's not enough to hear. They want to see it. You know, they want to see. So, but it's good because they can also see how the process is, you know.
And we're going to have guests.
Yes. We're going to have musical guests. We're going to have actors, speakers, and of course, the fans who listen. To me, they are the most important people. So if you have a problem, you need advice about something, you feel stuck about something, you're not sure about something, this podcast is a really good place to come. Because as a certified master life coach, I love helping people get unstuck. You know, it's a wonderful thing. It's a great feeling.
And yes, everybody's favorites, Wilhelmina and Poochie, will return this season as well.
Yeah, you'll get to see how we do Wilhelmina and Poochie.
I know that people have missed you, and we are trying a new version of the podcast where people are going to now see a little bit more of an unfiltered version of what we do. And it's been a little bit of a ride for you for the last few months. So I think that this episode alone, what we should do is just catch the listeners and the viewers up to speed with what's been going on with Judy Torres. You've been an open book on social media, but I think Now you should really dive in and go in depth.
Yeah, I think, if you follow me on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, it's at Judy Torres Music. Even TikTok is at Judy Torres Music. I would like to say that my life is this, and it is amazing, because I know people like, wow, it must be so great to be you. And it is, and it's fun. And I used to imagine myself at the top of the hill going, the hills are alive with the sound of music, you know, and it's like that sometimes, but the last 6 months of 2021 was like being in the boxing ring with Apollo Creed, and he was just knocking me down. For a long time, I had struggled with making this major decision, and I knew that if I made that decision, I knew it was going to turn my life upside down and turn a lot of other people's lives upside down. And I was so afraid of hurting anybody. I don't like to hurt people. So I was so afraid of hurting anybody, but I had to make the decision. It came to me the other day. I had to make a decision between saving my marriage or saving my soul. And I decided to save my soul.
So what does that look like? Saving my marriage or saving my soul? What was your soul feeling? Because maybe there's somebody going through this exact thing right now and needs to hear it.
Here's the thing. You can be in a marriage and you can be with someone that you love. And this could be a relationship too. It doesn't have to be a marriage. And you love them to pieces, and you know they love you to pieces. And for some reason, there are just certain things, certain principles and ethics that if you're not on the same page with, it makes it really difficult. And I can't get into the specifications. I can't be specific right now, right? I can't be specific right now because things have not been resolved and I want to give him his privacy. I want to give myself some time too. I'm still kind of in recovery. I wanted to save my marriage because I took my vow seriously. Till death do us part in sickness and in health, you know, for better, for worse. And there was worse. There was a lot of worse and there was some better. And the problem was that I was not able to go to sleep without constantly pondering, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? It's like knowing that my car is going to crash and I just have to decide, do I lift my hands up and close my eyes shut and see what happens? Or do I take my hand on the wheel and turn and take a detour? So, I just think it was this feeling that I was losing myself. It was this feeling like I was sacrificing too much of who I was to make other people happy. And that's not anybody's fault but my own, because you're always in charge of what you do with your life. But it was just this feeling that I wasn't putting myself first at all, ever. And I forgot to take care of myself. I forgot to pay attention to the things that brought me joy. I was too involved in what was making everyone else happy. And I just knew that if I decided to say, hey, I'm not happy, which I did several times. I want people to understand. It's not that I didn't try to save it. It's not that I didn't try at all. I tried for a long time. And it was just this feeling like something's got to give.
And just to pop in, It's not because somebody else came along or anything like that. It just was an internal struggle.
No, it was an internal struggle. I'm a very ambitious person. And I always have been like, my mom said it to me one time. She said, Judy, it's like when you were a little kid, you were like, oh, mom, look at that star. And she said, you would like try to grab it and you would grab it. Oh, this star is so pretty. Oh my God. Oh, wow. Look, there's another star. Well, maybe that one's cool too. And it wasn't that the star didn't make me happy. It's that I love to evolve and I love to grow as a person. And when I feel like I get stuck, it makes me worried about me. And it's okay sometimes to be stuck. Sometimes being stuck is part of the process. I was just stuck for too long. So it was this feeling like I have dreams and I have ambitions. And when I tried to reach for those things, it made other people uncomfortable. And so it was this battle between, all right, maybe I'll put that on hold. But you can't put your life on hold. Sometimes you get opportunities, and especially when, you know, in this career, when you get an opportunity, you have to take it. When it's offered to you, because there's other people out there that will take it faster than you could think. And when I say saving my marriage and saving myself, it's my soul. It's just that I could feel myself internally dying. I was becoming depressed. And I always tell people, when you find yourself crying more than you're smiling in your relationship, that is a huge, huge red flag. And so, I could say I thought about it for a very long time and I finally had to make a decision. And I'm still kind of in the process of the transition. I'm still trying to figure out now, who am I being single again at the age of 53? Whoa. You know, I remember I was listening to Dr. Laura once. Dr. Laura has a really popular show on Sirius, Triumph 111. And I listened to her. I don't always agree with her approach, but she's really good, you know. And a woman had called and she was kind of telling Dr. Laura a similar situation. What's the coincidence that I turn it on and that's the first call I hear? And I remember that Dr. Laura said, okay, so what are you going to do about it? Are you going to stay? Are you going to fight for your marriage? You're going to go counseling? What are you going to do? And she, oh, he doesn't want to go counseling. Okay, so what are you going to do about it? So then the woman's like, you know, I don't know. And then she started this whole I don't know thing. And Dr. Laura can't stand when people say, I don't know. So she said, you know what? You know what? Just stay with him then. But don't, if you're going to stay with him, then don't complain about a damn thing anymore.
And I was like, man, that was harsh. That was mean, you know? And she said, Dr. Laura said, you know, that's the problem with you women. You can tell about how unhappy you are, but you won't do a damn thing about it because you're too afraid to reinvent yourself at the age you are now. I couldn't get that out of my head.
Yeah, I knew that must have resonated with you.
You couldn't. You're too afraid to reinvent yourself at the age you are now. Because let me tell you something. When you think you're in your 50s, right? You're in your 50s. I'm in my 50s. And you tell people how you feel. And one of the things they say is, well, you know, you are 53 now. Your chances of meeting somebody are pretty low. And you go, oh my God, what if it's true? And you have that feeling, what if nobody will ever love me again? What if I'll never meet anybody like him again? What if I make the mistake of my freaking life? That is the fear. What if I devastate him? What if I make him mad? And I know that that doesn't sound like a big deal to people, but for me, I hate making people mad. I hate when my actions or something I say or don't say hurts people. It'll drive me insane. That's the thing that keeps me up at night. And that's something I got to work on, but that keeps me up at night. So, well, you know, I started having issues. I started getting this feeling like someone was sitting on my chest. I couldn't sleep at night.
Yeah. I think when you called me to tell me this, I said, Judy, you're having anxiety. And you didn't know because you never really experienced that.
Yeah. I don't get anxiety. I get depressed. I'm a crier. But it was this feeling like I couldn't breathe. Right. And then I started getting pains and ironically, symbolic pains, pain in my shoulder. Right. What does that mean? You got the weight of the world on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Pain in my back. Strong. Your strength, your foundation is weakening. And I hate to tell you, but on my left side, a pain in the butt. You know, so I had a pain in the butt, the shoulders, the back, and I even had a pain in my neck. And to me, I was just looking, thinking about it, you know.
When the body is under stress, it will cause pain. It will.
And I was going to the doctor like, we don't know what's going on. And I was getting spasms and all this stuff. And I'm like, my body, I'm so stressed out and so unhappy that my body is screaming at me, do something about it. It's real hard to have that conversation. It's like, when do you have that conversation? How do you have that conversation? What are you going to say? And there's never a good time. I want people to know, I can't tell you how many times. Well, okay, I'll tell him this day. No, I can't tell him this day because next week is his birthday or Christmas is coming or no, because there's a big thing going on with the family and I can't put any more stress on them. No, because there's always a reason not to do it. And I kept on putting it off and I kept thinking it'll get better. Every relationship that comes into your life to teach you something about you. They are there to put a mirror up in front of your face and teach you something that you need to learn, either for yourself or something that you want, that you need to know that you need, or something that you know that it'll teach you what you don't want. You know, that was really hard. So trying to adjust, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What are we going to, it was just, it's messy. Like I said, there's a whole other episode. There's like three episodes, but anyway, so then I'm starting to sort of start a new life in a new place and a new, you know, I'm on my own. I'm single again. I'm living alone. And then COVID hits again, right? This variant and people are getting sick. And
not to mention you were just starting to get back out there on stage too.
Just started having shows again. Was like, oh, phew, thank God.
You know? Not just local shows where you were getting on planes, you were traveling.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is that, you know, when COVID hit the first time, I didn't have a show for a year and a half. Right. So when you're not making your majority of income for a year and a half, that's stressful.
You're saying we had COVID for a year and a half, which we did. During the shutdown, did you find some clarity in knowing when you had to come to terms with what it was you were internally struggling with at that point? Was it that, did that help drive you to it, or were there moments where you were like, wow, now I'm totally confused all the more?
I was totally confused all the more. You know, I think the one thing that COVID has done is, especially when we had the lockdown, right? When people were forced, like, stay home, stay home, stay home. All of a sudden, you're home all the time with everybody. And you learn really quick how you're getting along. What's the quality of your relationship? Are you able to talk with each other? Mm. Like, I'm sure kids were confused. All of a sudden, everyone's at the dinner table. And what do you talk about? you're not even going to school. You're not going to work. It's like, what do you talk about? So I think that COVID either brought people together, or not that COVID separated people, but the stress of it might have separated people. And also just the realization, you know, sometimes your life needs to change significantly so you can ask the right questions. I think the one thing COVID forced people to ask themselves are, am I happy? Am I happy? And happiness isn't about what you have, it's about how you feel. It's about, are you being fulfilled? Are you fulfilling your purpose in life? Do you feel valuable? Do you feel appreciated? Do you feel purposeful? Are you contributing to things? Because it's not about having things, it's about how you feel. People want to have things. They think, if I can get that new car, if I could get that house, I'll be happy. If I could lose that 30 pounds, I'll be happy. They think, when I get this, then I'll be happy. That's not true at all. The truth is, if you're unhappy now, you'll be unhappy with whatever comes your way, because the happiness is about something going on inside you. And it's really not the house or the car or the weight loss that's going to give you the joy. It's the feeling you're looking to feel when you have that. So, for example, some people, I'll be happy when I feel financially secure. I just had a client say that to me today. When I'm financially secure, I'll be happy. Money doesn't bring you happiness. Money brings you security. So it's not the feeling of having the money that makes you happy. It's the feeling of feeling more free, that you're able to do certain things and you don't have to worry about the consequences. It's comfortable. So it's the feeling of comfort you're looking for, not the money. Am I making sense?
Absolutely. And through the
comfort. Did I go off the tangent?
No, it was good. And because you had mentioned something before that, that you have to find where you're most valuable. And I think the continuation, the next part of this, because it's just like, you know, the expression, the hits just keep on coming. As if this wasn't enough, you really learn to value life. I was extremely shocked when I seen the post about you'd been in an accident after a performance one night. And yeah, that just makes you stop and realize, after all the loss that we'd seen with people, like in the blink of an instant, in a second, life can change or life can end. And mm-hmm. we've seen it all too frequently. And mm-hmm. for me, when I woke up the next morning from the show that you did and you posted that, that hit me. So I could imagine what it did for you.
Yeah, it was rough. So, you know, I had the separation, and then the end of October, my father got COVID and he passed away October 24th. The week after that, his wife passed away. And then the week after that, on the way back from a show, I was like 18 minutes from home. We were at a red light and boom, a car just rammed into us. I was in the passenger side in the bed, sitting in the back, and the driver was going about 50 miles per hour and he just hit us hard. And for the first time in my life, I was in an ambulance and taken to the hospital, and it was just a shock. You know, it's funny because I had a black and blue on the side of my head behind my ear. It was instant. My head just went, like, it just blew up, like you see in the cartoons, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't remember hitting my head. And somebody asked me, did you lose consciousness? I'm like, no. They're like, how do you know? Well, that's a good question. Because I don't remember hitting my head. So is it possible for a second? I don't know.
Well, the body goes into that mode of where it'll shut down during a moment of intense shock.
And you have so much adrenaline in your body. I can't even, you know, that's what it was. It was just shock. It was like, first of all, you're trying to the first thing you ask everybody is, are you okay? Because I have my driver and I have my road manager. So the first thing you ask is, are you okay? Then you're like in shock. Like you're like, oh my God, you know, then I got this black and blue. And then it's like, what happened? All I knew was I heard the bang. And it was like, what was that? I couldn't even believe it. And the ambulance came and I was telling them I was okay. That no. I'm glad they told me no, because when I got in the ambulance, maybe 10 minutes later, the pain, oh my God, oof. And then I'm crying, you know, and then the week after that, I got COVID and I didn't have this recent variant or whatever. I had the real deal. Like
you had the Delta.
COVID would lie to me. I had fever every day. I had body aches every day. And I had a horrible, horrible, horrible cough. As each day progressed, my chest started to hurt more and more. And it finally got to a point like you try to take a deep breath, but you can't because it hurts too much. And I will wake up in the morning, day four, day five. I woke up in the morning. And I felt like, oh, I'm getting better. I slept good. Oh, okay, I still have a low-grade fever, but it was low, like 99 point something, 99.8, something like that. Oh, okay, I'm not coughing. Oh, so I sat up. Oh, this feels good. All right, I'm good. I stood up. Okay. I took 5 steps to the bathroom. That's about how many steps it takes me to get to the bathroom. And I lost it. Coughing. Oh, it was real hard. Because I remember thinking to myself, wow, if this is it, right? If God forbid I have to go to the hospital and this is it, like, this is how I'm going to go out? Like, I was just thinking, I have so much work to do. I'm not finished yet. You know, and it's amazing when you pray to God how you bargain. And you should never bargain with God, but you do. God, I promise you, if you get me through this, man, I'll do blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I was just like, all I was saying was, please, God, not yet. Please, God, not yet. You know, and it's funny. I was listening to an Oprah podcast yesterday. I think it was with Michael Singer, who wrote this book called The Untethered Soul. Oh, my God. If you have a chance to read that book, it's phenomenal. That book changed my life. But he talks about how, you know, we say, please, you know, he said, if the angel of death knocked on your door today, you probably would say, please, you know, give me more time. Can you give me another week? And the angel of death would probably say, I gave you 52 of them this whole year. So wow. Every day is so valuable, you know, and I was just thinking, please, God, I want to bring my one woman show back. I want to write a book. I want to open a center called Dream Catchers for Kids. I want to do this. I want to do that, you know. And finally, I couldn't take it anymore. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to have to go to the doctor. I think it was like day 8 or 9. And I just couldn't breathe. And my heart was racing. Oh, my God. Apparently, COVID causes palpitations of the heart, too. And it was really bad. And I couldn't take it anymore. My resting heart rate was like 116, which is like technically aerobic. And I wasn't moving. So I was on my way to the hospital when the doctor called me. And the doctor said, you know, let me call in a prescription for you. Can you hold on a little longer? And she got me antibiotics, prednisone, and albuterol, which is an inhaler to help the bronchial tubes. And that was kind of like my saving grace. And the next morning, she got me in for the monoclonal antibodies. The monoclonal antibodies work if you get them within the first 10 days that you have COVID. So I think I was up to like day 9 when I got them. And that's when I started getting better. But I can say that I was getting significantly worse every day.
Wow. And I think what makes it hard too is that, you know, you were kind of alone.
COVID is an isolating illness. You know, my father was 90 and he did have COPD and he did have emphysema. But when I tell you, anybody who knew my father knew that that was one tough son of a gun and nothing was going to take him out. And he was actually improving. And what happened was that his wife got COVID because he didn't want to be alone. So she stayed with him in the hospital every night. And I told her so many times, Carmen, you got to go home. You got to go home. She wanted to be with him. He wanted her to be with him. And she got COVID. So when she went home, because they didn't let her stay there anymore for obvious reasons. That's when he started to go downhill, because my father, as tough as he was, just didn't want to be alone. And I think at my father's service, my brother said it wasn't COVID that killed him. It was the loneliness. And I think part of me believes that, you know, and I think that's what killed her. I think she was lonely. I think she didn't know what to do without him. When you're with someone for decades, right? I think they were together for over 30 years. What do you do? How do you start over?
Especially when you take care of the significant other.
Yeah, it's hard. So, the whole thing. And the good thing is I was single. I lived by myself from age 19 to 46. So I know how to do it. It's not like I don't know how to do it. But you do feel better when someone's there. Even if they're not doing anything for you. They're just, someone's there, you know. I had, you know, that God bless my friends that live nearby. They brought me food. They were like ninjas. They would bring food, or they would get my medicine for me. They knock on the door. I got to the door. They were gone. No footsteps. I didn't hear, like, gone, like, you know.
Stealth.
And you feel sad. You feel lonely. It's very lonely inducing. But that brain fog that's associated with COVID is real, because I watch TV and I can't tell you a damn thing I saw. I think I know what I watched, but I can't tell you what happened. No idea.
You also had to kind of start to go through the grieving process of not just your dad and his wife, but also your marriage. So how do you not crack under the pressure? Because we purposely glazed over dad in this episode because we want to dedicate an entire episode to him, which you said, you know, so how do you juggle that? Was it a blessing to kind of have that alone time?
When my father passed, and I know that anybody who knows anyone who passed close to them, that they had to do the funeral arrangements, they know how overwhelming that is. First of all, I'm stunned. Even though I had a feeling, I did have a feeling he was going to pass. It's, even if you're expecting it, I don't care. When it happens, you're still stunned. So I was stunned. And then I'm the oldest child. And it's like, well, I'm not the oldest child. I'm the oldest with my brother, but I have another sister who's older. So you walk into the funeral home to make these arrangements. I've never done it before. I have no idea what I'm doing, right? And I'm not saying the funeral home did a bad job. They did an excellent job. It's just that you're not ready. You know, they right away asking you all these questions. What would you like? Do you want a service? You know, what flowers do you want? And then they're showing you displays. And then you're like, how much is that? You're like, oh my God. And then, you know, I haven't done, you know, it was like $10,000 and we didn't even pick a casket yet.
Yeah, it becomes big business.
Now I gotta pick a casket? Oh my God, you know, what, you know, and then I go downstairs and they got caskets on display. Like I'm going to go, like I'm on a shopping spree or something. And
yeah.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. I don't know how other people feel. I was devastated, but I was telling myself, you can't, you know, prolong this. You got to do what you got to do. And so I was in go, go, go mode. And it was just shocking. And then, you know, you're not prepared for it. I don't care how much money you have. It's a lot of money. And so now you're hurt because you're grieving, and now you're financially hurt on top of that.
Yeah.
It's whoa.
Especially during something so difficult economically for people, like a shutdown, where in your particular line of work, your right. salary comes from people needing to gather and needing to see, you know,
right.
entertainment right. and shows and whatnot. And, you know,
yeah.
everybody thinks it's glamorous with what you do and that the lifestyle is financially set and, oh, she must be well off. And, you know, cause you have so many things going on, but people don't realize it's a career like any other career. And
well, like I said, you know, I did save for a rainy day. I saved well for a few rainy days. I just didn't know it was going to rain this long.
Yeah.
It's been raining a long time. And you, whether you're in this career or not, people understand how, what I'm saying. People are frustrated now. People are like, I want to go back to normal. there are two things I tell myself. Number one is my faith. Faith is believing in that which you cannot see. And so that's not just believing in God. It's also believing in things getting better, right? I can't see right now. It looks like crap right now. It can't get worse than this. Well, maybe it could. Whoa, whoa, whoa. But it's this feeling like it's going to be okay. So you're trudging through it. You know, it's kind of like, imagine your house is on fire. You wake up one day and it's on fire. What are you going to do? You don't want to get on fire. You don't want to die. So you got to push through. So you look around you. Okay, what can I grab? What can I deal with? What can I work with now to help me? If you panic, you lose. So you don't panic. So you grab something, you throw it over you, you wet some towels, you do whatever you got to do, and you run out of that house like mad. But you go in with the intention, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get through this. And when you come out, you may not be burned a little bit. You might have some scars, but that's what you do. You got to get to the other side. So right now I'm in the middle somewhere. Almost. I see the door. I'm this close to getting out. And you just have to believe it. The other thing is, there's a Buddhist principle that I came across. I tried one time to educate myself about Buddhism. So if anybody's out there is a Buddhist, please feel free to email me, judytorreslifecoach@gmail.com. And one of the tenets of Buddhism is life is suffering. So we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. Part of the human experience is life is suffering. You will get sick at some point in your life. You will experience pain. You will experience loss. You will experience grief. You will experience loneliness, death, everything. All those things, whether you're a good person or not, is coming. Maybe not today, but it will. Part of accepting that helps me. Doesn't fix the darn thing, but I go, oh, well, this is part of life. So when you're in that kind of pain, you have a choice. You ask yourself, you can say, why is this happening to me? Why is so-and-so doing this to me? I'm a good person. Why? Or you can say, what is this teaching me? What is life trying to teach me right now? What is God, the universe, whatever you want to call it? What's the lesson here? When you say, why is this happening to me? You're a victim. You're powerless. And I want people to know that asking why is this happening to me is totally normal. Especially when you're when it first happens to you, you're in that shock. That's your first reaction. Why is this happening to me? When I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, that was my first thought. Why is this happening to me? This isn't fair, you know? But when you do that, you're a victim and you're stuck. You're a product of the consequence. So you can do that. And if you do that, you're going to stay stuck. Because you're going to stay stuck in that moment that it happened. Why did it happen? Why? Trust me when I tell you, you never put a question mark where God has put a period. Something happened to you. It is what it is. And it's done. It's happened. Now, what are you going to do about it? So now you can say, what is this teaching me? When you ask that question, and sometimes you don't know the answer yet, but it forces you to move and it forces you to think differently. That's how you get unstuck. Because as long as you say why, you can't move. Because you're looking for something, someone to blame. And sometimes there's not always a reason or an explanation. So I find in my life, when I say, what is this teaching me? I find answers, not right away. What did COVID teach me? COVID taught me I better get to work with the things I said I was going to do, that I was afraid I was not going to be able to do. COVID taught me how precious life is. COVID taught me to find a strength that's beyond what I can do. You you reach a point where you go, all right, I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to drink water. I'm going to stay hydrated. I'm going to make sure I'm eating. And I'm just going to give it to God. You know, God, help me. You know, there's two major prayers that you have, even if you don't know how to pray, is thank you and help. Help and thank you.
Amen.
You know, and so when I ask myself, what is it teaching me? It helps me. What is the separation of my marriage taught me? So much. That's a whole other episode. What has the death of my father taught me? The death of my father taught me how fast life goes, how grateful I am that even in my last conversations with him, I was able to forgive him completely and forgive myself. I was happy that I had no regrets.
Because in those moments, you realize some of the stuff in the greatest scheme of it, when this is the last time I'm going to see this person, do I choose to carry this with me and hold on to it? Because now that this person's not going to be around, it's just going to eat me up inside. Or do I let go of it and realize the most valuable thing is life itself, and this person is losing their life right now? So do I stay stuck, like you said, or mm-hmm. do I release them of mm-hmm. whatever it was that I encountered? Because nothing's changing what the inevitable is in this moment right now.
Yeah. I learned so much in those last few minutes with him. I think, you know, I was always afraid that when he died, I would not have forgiven him for something. Cause I was upset with my father for a few things. My biggest fear was that when he died, I would be mad. I didn't want to be mad.
So are you surprised with the way you actually handled it and felt after the fact? Are you glad with the outcome?
My last moments with him and the things I said to him, I remember when I was walking away thinking, wow, did I say that? You know, I feel like some of it was divine. I feel like some of it was God-given. The thing I'm most sad about with my father's passing is that I wanted my father to pass happier. I don't think my father was very happy when he passed. So that bothers me, but I can't do anything about that. But I can pray for him. I can pray that he's in a happier place for sure. I just think, you know, it taught me that I'm stronger than I thought. And I'm just really glad that I worked on forgiving him before he passed. You can't sit and go, why? I don't get it, you know? And it does baffle you sometimes. But I think the how is better. You know, like, how do I move on now? How do I honor my father's memory? How do I continue the Torres legacy? You know, my father's very proud of his name. So how do I make that name something he can always be proud of?
I'm sure you've done that at this point.
I don't know. You know, I don't know if it's that I'm not satisfied with myself. I'm never happy with myself. I'm not a perfectionist, but maybe I don't know. I just have this thing that I feel like I could do better. I'm not done yet. You know, my singing career was my dream. And it's happened and it still continues to this day. And I'm grateful for it. And I can easily sit back and go, okay, good. My job is done. I did it. Right. But no, because I feel like the singing is the diving board to catapult me to help do something bigger.
Sure. It paralleled you to other plateaus now.
Yeah. I don't mean fame. I mean, so I can help people. It's one of the reasons I do the podcast. It's one of the reasons I like the life coaching. I just don't want to sing and get off stage. I want to, and it's become a natural evolution through time with fans coming up to me after shows and telling me stories and sometimes crying, and I sit with them and I talk with them. I love it. You know, I love to give back. So it's something I want to continue doing. So in my mind, yes, I want to continue to sing, because without singing, singing is like breathing to me. If I'm not singing, I'm miserable. So I'm going to keep on doing it until I can't do it anymore. But I just want to know that in addition to that, that it wasn't just about the stage and the lights, that there's something more meaningful behind
it's purpose. It's purpose. And how you're able to take your God-given blessings of the talents and the equipment that you've been divinely blessed with to use that to make your purpose to touch other lives, because that is what we're in this world to do, is to touch lives with what it is that we do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, my ultimate dream, I want to bring the One Woman Show back only because of what it did for people. It helped a lot of people come to terms with some things that had happened to them that they found in common with me. I want to write a book, but really what I want to do in one day, everything's going to blow up and I'm going to make so much money that I want to get a center somewhere in the Bronx or something like that. I want to call it Dream Catchers, right? Because what's a dream catcher? A dream catcher is something that you have above your bed. And the idea is that the dream catcher catches the nightmare, so only the good dreams come through.
And for those of you that don't know Judy on a personal level, dream catchers are one of her favorite things in the world. She collects them.
I'm obsessed I love Native American culture in general. And I am part Native American and part Taíno, which is indigenous to Puerto Rico. I found that with my DNA, ancestry stuff. But I've always loved that. So I love the symbolism of dream catchers. And when I was a kid wanting to be a singer, my mom couldn't afford voice lessons, you know, and I always wished that I had something to do, somewhere to go. So my dream would be to make this center a performing arts center, not just for singing, but for dancing, for acting, for art and things like that. And have different classes that kids can take where they can get help to help their dreams come true. It will help them stay off the street and it'll give them purpose. Because one of the reasons I didn't get in trouble as a kid was because I was determined I was going to be a singer. So, oh no, I'm not going to smoke. I'm not going to do drugs. I'm not going to drink because I got to have my voice. I had purpose already. So when you have something like that, you have a vision and you're really excited about it, it keeps you away from the bad stuff, you know? And so ultimately that's my dream. I would love to do that. And I would love to have, like, I don't know, George Lavon give a class or
Do
different like master class. Do also have different master classes where someone comes in and teaches them something. It's not just about the arts too, but it's also the disciplines and things that you have to do in life to get through the hard stuff so you can keep on track, you know? So that's my ultimate dream in my head. You know, I'm like more determined now than ever. Like I can't waste any more time. No more wasting time. Every day I've got to work toward the goal.
It's amazing. And you had almost two encounters where life could have changed or ended abruptly. And something bigger is telling you, maybe it is Peter Torres saying, Judy, you know, do what you got.
My father, just so you know, if you guys, when you come see my one woman show, one of the jokes about my father, and it's one of my most endearing memories about him, is that he always called and introduced himself as if I didn't know his name. Like I didn't recognize my father's voice. Judy. Hello, Judy. This is your father, Peter Torres. And I would just crack up every time. Like even when he would sign the cards, my birthday cards, love your father, Peter Torres, a big autograph. I was like, wow, you know, maybe that I get that from my father.
There you go.
You know, it was like a big deal to him. And so I feel now more than ever, like, get it done, Judy, get it done. You were given another chance, get it done. Because not everybody gets another chance.
So for people that are in the thick of some pretty murky waters in their own lives right now, like you were, what would you say to that person that feels, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get through this?
You might not know, but you have to decide what you want. I don't know if I'm going to get through this. Decide you're going to get through it. Decide it. Even that moment that I kind of thought, oh my God, this could be it. I told myself, don't get scared, Judy, and don't panic. Because people who panic, they don't make it. Look at anything you see, right? Someone drowning, they panic, they die. You know, panic will never help you make the right decisions. So despite how I was feeling, I said to myself, I will get through this. And I also said to myself, the thing that you can count on in life is that it always changes. So you have good days and you have bad days. And right now, you're just having those bad days. How you decide to handle those bad days determines how you're going to get out of it. If you believe that you're not going to make it, you're not going to make it. If you start talking about, oh, I don't think so, I don't think so, we are the results of our thoughts. Everything you have in your life right now is a result of what you think and believe about life and about yourself. And if you, for example, and it's not that you ask for it, it's not that you do it on purpose. This is all in the subconscious. If you are in a bad relationship, if you're in an abusive relationship, of course, nobody asks for an abusive situation. Nobody wants to get hit or get hurt or get abused. Nobody. And nobody deserves that. However, if somewhere deep inside you don't believe you're worth it, if somewhere deep inside you don't think you deserve to be treated well because you don't think you're good enough or pretty enough or whatever the case may be, you have that, there's an energy that you give off. Everyone gives off something. That's what we are. We're energetic beings. We all have energy. You're giving off that statement. And so what happens is the people who are worth it don't see you because they're looking for someone who believes they're worthy. People who are abusive are looking for people who feel lower than, because that's who they can control. So that's what you attract to you. You got to figure something out. You've got to talk yourself through it so you don't stay stuck.
Now, the next question, I think, which is pretty important here, because you are a person with an attitude of gratitude. How do you turn that stuff into stuff to be thankful for? And of course, we know because she survived, Vinny. Yeah, we know Judy survived it. How do you find thankfulness in that?
You have to find the good in everything. So the good in everything is this. Thank God I had the time I did have with my father. And even though it wasn't always good, sometimes I wonder, like, I love my father, and my father, I admire him for, he came here from Cuba when he was 18 years old. He came here by himself on a boat. He learned the language. He got a job. You know, he's a United States citizen, people, just in case. He did everything right. He did everything he was supposed to do, and he found a way to succeed. I'm so proud of him for that. It's something that that's one thing I never got to tell him. I should have told him. I never got to tell him that. I did talk about it in the One Woman Show, but I never told him. But I think sometimes I spent a lot of my life being sad that my father wasn't in my life, being angry that my father wasn't around when I needed him, wondering if he thought about me, if he missed me. I was really a hurt child. I really needed my dad. You know, every little girl wants her dad, you know. And then I wonder sometimes if maybe I wouldn't be who I am if my dad was around. I'd have a completely different life. Some of the strength that I've managed to come up with has been because he wasn't around. So in a weird way, I'm grateful for that. In a weird way, it showed me to be strong in some areas that I had to be. I had to figure it out. And I couldn't walk around mad at him anymore because that wasn't going to help me. But I'm grateful for him. And I'm grateful that on his 90th birthday, I gave him a little birthday lunch.
And how it worked out too, because you would have never known that was the last encounter.
My brother wasn't able to come. He wanted to go to Fridays. He wanted the steak and ribs. That was his thing. So I said, okay, that's what you want to do. Like, all right. I mean, I want to take him to a restaurant, not putting Fridays down. But when, you know, my father's like, no, I want to go to Fridays. So I took him there. And on my way, I said, you know what? I'm going to get him balloons because it's his 90th birthday. This is a big deal. So I got him this big, if you can go on my social page if you want to see it. Got him this big balloon that looks like a birthday cake with candles, and I got him two balloons at 9 and 0 for 90. Who would have thunk it? Do you know that it wasn't the dinner? It wasn't the gift. I gave him a gift. It wasn't the gift. It was the freaking balloons. He loved the balloons. And you know what it taught me? It made me wonder if my father had a childhood. It made me wonder, well, did anybody ever give him a party? So I'm so grateful that I gave those balloons to him. We did a video that day.
Beautiful.
And I told him I was putting it up on Facebook. And my father's never happier. I'd never seen him happier. Today is my father's 90th birthday. Allow me to introduce you to my father, Peter Torres. Hi, Papi.
Hello.
It's your birthday today.
I'm 90 years old today, and I got the best love of my life, which is Judy, my baby, since she was a little baby, and all the way now to be a baby too. I love her very much. I'm spending my 90 years birthday with her, and I love we'll be able to spend so many others. And I love you, Judy.
I love you, too,
you so much. Always be with me.
And I just feel, I'm so grateful I had that time with him. And that joyful day erased so much of the pet stuff for me. Because I was like, he's happy. And I wanted my father to be happy. I never thought that was going to be the last time.
And then before we went on the air tonight, you shared that he had passed 10 minutes after you left the hospital. So maybe perhaps,
yeah,
maybe he needed your strength to know that it was okay to, you know.
So many fans wrote to me that they had met my father and that he said these wonderful things about me. I'm like, he did? Wow. He didn't tell me. So it's like this surprise. Like, really? He did? Oh, he was so proud of you. He was? Wow. He didn't tell me. Sometimes we don't know what the lessons are or what we should be thankful for yet. Like sometimes you break up with someone and you feel like, oh my God, this is the end of the world, right? And you think, I'll never love another person. And then 3 years later, you meet someone who's amazing, who blows that person out the water. And then you go, oh, I can't believe I thought like that. Then you're like, thank God it didn't work out. So for those of you struggling, you don't have all the answers now. Believe me when I tell you, it gets better and it will get better. And there are some things you're going to look back and go, oh, that's why it happened. Thank God. Sometimes God is saving you from something you have no idea he's saving you from. That's why sometimes you can't question when something bad happens. Just let it be. There's a reason it's happening and it's for your good, whether you feel like that or not. Now I have a responsibility to handle this with grace because other people are watching. And I want to make sure that people know if I can get through it, you can get through it.
And that's exactly what Judy is here to do this entire season on this Beautiful Life with Judy Torres podcast. So if there's anything that you want to speak to her about this year, this season, and you want to run something by her or you're looking for advice, Judy, tell them how they can reach out to you and maybe be a guest on one of our episodes this season.
Yes, you can reach me at judytorreslifecoach@gmail.com. judytorreslifecoach@gmail.com.
Final thoughts.
The biggest, most definite constant in life is that life will always change. So when you're in the bad, remember the good is coming. And when you're in the good, don't think about, oh, the bad is coming, but you appreciate the good while it's happening. Because everything's going to change. Life is always ever changing, ever evolving. And you, Bruce Lee said it, be the water. When water goes into a bottle like this, right? The water takes the shape of the bottle. How else can the water stay in the bottle? It has to take the shape of the bottle. So in life, you decide to go with that. Take the shape of what's happening to you. Accept it, surrender to it. It is what it is. And you take, look at life as a river, right? There's a current. Sometimes the current's really strong. You go with the flow. And as you go with the flow, you go along, la, 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 la. And if you don't like it, you can hold on to a rock or hold on to a branch or something. But otherwise, if you try to swim against the current, life is going to be really hard. So you're in the midst of it. You're in the midst of that fire. You're in that river, go along with the current and know that on the other side, it's better. It will get better. Promise, promise, promise.
And remember,
There's no reason to cry. Man, talk about a blessing and a curse sometimes, because it's like, you know, I can't even cry in my own life. It was like, Judy, there's no reason to cry, you know.
And in our next edition, we're going to touch more on your dad, as you said. And we're going to actually hear, in juxtapositioning to what you talk about, advice that you gave to Speedy, who was supposed to be a guest last season.
Yes.
But because of everything that happened, we put it on hold. Mm-hmm. But you advised him through mourning his loved one, his dad, and the fear of losing his mom. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be interesting for you to hear the words you told him before it was even a thought that your father was leaving.
Well, Vinny, that's deep. Okay. Yeah, I would. Yeah, I'm curious to listen to it too. And my life coach taught me this. My life coach is Dr. Pauline George. She had said to me, sometimes the very advice that you give people is the very advice you need for yourself. And sometimes the things you're trying to teach your clients, they're teaching you at the same time. And I'm finding that to be so true. Very, very true. So it's humbling.
Absolutely. So in the meantime, friends, you can go to Judy Torres Music on all forms of social media and keep up with everything Judy's got going on. We thank you so much for joining us for the start of season 3 of Beautiful Life with Judy Torres, both audio and now visual. So make sure you share it. Make sure you're spreading the good word and make sure you're getting people to like, to subscribe and to listen so we can remain successful and continue to help you find that beautiful life. My name's Vinny Madunio. She's Judy Torres. We'll see you next time.
Okay, bye-bye. I love you. Bye-bye.